Our scripture reading today is from Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. If you're using your Pew Bibles, it's on page 517. Once again, Proverbs 9. This is what Holy Scripture says. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Brian, for reading scripture for us this morning. There's a show on TV called Is It Cake? I don't know if you've seen this. It's one of my boys' favorite shows. Oh, sorry. I mean my girls. They've enjoyed watching it, not my boys. And my girls, they've watched this show a few times, and I've happened to be able to be around doing something while they were watching this show, and I've caught it a few times. And if you've never seen it before, the premise of the show is pretty simple. What happens is they are going to make a cake, all right? Everybody here likes cake, but they're not just going to make a cake. They're going to make a cake look super real, and they have to make it look like another item, okay? And so what they're going to do is they're given an item that might be like a shoe, a hat, a baseball glove, a burger, a toolbox, like actual items. And their job is to kind of pick their item, however that happens. And then they need to make a cake that looks so much like that, that when the judges look at it, they don't know the difference at all, okay? And so what happens is they spend all this time, the whole show, you know, baking this cake. And it also has to taste good, by the way, on the inside. So they'll make this whole cake. They have to make it look just like it is. And then once they're done and the time runs out, they bring out the item. So let's say it's a burger, and they'll place it among a whole bunch of other burgers that are real. And what they need to do is a panel of judges come out, and they have a little bit of distance between them. And the judges are only given a very short period of time to look at what is being, what was presented in front of them, and they have to make a split-second decision among them and kind of come to an agreement, which one is cake? And so they make their decision, and then the host of the show goes over, they take their big knife and they stab it, and you decide if, you know, that bag or that burger is leather or a sandwich, or if they cut into it and it opens it up and shows a beautiful, delicious cake inside. And the goal is to try to trick the judges, okay, to win and go on, to make a cake that looks so real and so authentic that you can trick them. As we come into chapter 9 today of Proverbs chapter 9, what we're going to see is that there is an invitation, as we have heard. There's two invitations, actually, for us to dine. There is an invitation for us to dine with wisdom, and an invitation for us to dine with folly. And on the outside, they look pretty similar. They both sound somewhat delicious in different ways, but the result of choosing one versus the other is drastically different. And here in Proverbs chapter 9, as we look at the big idea of it, we're going to see this, that you, and me have been invited to dine with wisdom or folly. Wisdom leads to life and folly to death. The fear of the Lord is the step that moves you from one table to another. Now, we've been looking at Proverbs for like 9 or 10 weeks now, 10 weeks maybe, or 10 different sermons. And so much of this is not new to you. Wisdom leads to life, folly leads to death. You've heard this. You go, yeah, I know that. But it's not as plain and simple always as that. Sometimes we just have that split-second decision to look at something and go, is this wise, is this not wise? And it's only until they really cut into that cake in the show of is it cake that you realize it's not cake or it is cake. And that's how it is with life sometimes. We don't realize which table we're dining at. We don't realize where we are because it all kind of looks the same sometimes. But Proverbs lays out something very different. And in the first 8 chapters of this book, we've been walking along, and the literary kind of way that the book is set up is it's talking about a father pleading with his son. But we've said that this is wisdom that is shared for all. They're just using that kind of as an example, as this literary device. But we do have a lot of young people here with us today, and we do have young adults, and we do have adults. And so all of us need to hear this message that has been going through Proverbs. In the first 8 chapters, there's this father pleading with his son to guard his heart, that as you go out, don't listen to the cries of the woman, don't listen to these promises, for the way of wisdom is far greater than gold, even at $4,500 U.S. an ounce. It's far greater than jewels. And up until this point, there's been lots of discourses about stay away from the fool, all right? There's violent ambush that might come from these evil men. Stay away from their flattery. Stay away from the adulterous woman. And the instruction for the son is to stay on this path. Don't take these crooked trails and go these different ways. So chapter 9 is really the pinnacle and the closing point of the first half of the book of Proverbs. After this, we're going to get into more topical things because they kind of break down into one-liners or single proverbs, and we're going to break those up into different sections talking about money and relationships and laziness and all of those kind of things. But finishing off the pinnacle or the grand climax of the first 9 chapters is this invitation, the invitation for you to dine with wisdom or folly, and that is how it's set up, where we need to make a choice. And so in many ways, you could picture a father or a parent sending their children out into the world, hoping here that they really need to make that decision now. They're sending them into the world for the first time, whether that's to university or some other way. But the reality is, you are released into the world. Each of us are released into the world, not at like, here is the point where you need to make a decision. We've needed wisdom all the way. We've been following a path. And so he will be released. They will go out. And so this is a call to make a decision. So as we look at the first 6 verses here, this is what this first 6 verses say. It talks about this first invitation, the invitation of wisdom. And it says, wisdom in verse 1 has built her house. She has set up its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. So these first couple of verses tell us this. Wisdom, who is orderly, as we can see, she's been hardworking. She's been working hard to set up a house, okay? If you've set up a house or built something like this, the idea here is that this didn't just happen by happen circumstance. Wisdom isn't just a squatter like we're going to see that folly is. Wisdom has been working hard to build something. The 7 pillars reference there, you don't have to construct a building. It's really just this idea of a large kind of house, a large mansion. But more than that, the idea of completeness, the idea of perfection, the idea of there is enough space, it's large, they're wealthy. And this has been set up. Wisdom is building this house. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. The idea there of preparing the meat, it's like slaughtering the lamb or slaughtering the ox for a big feast. It's not this little bit of food. It's like an ox that would feed the whole community. And so the idea there is just that there is plentiful food to go around. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. This is what is on order. She's worked hard, she's done it, and she's also set her table. The table is set. The idea here is that there's this invitation that wisdom is preparing for you to invite you in to a place of protection, completeness, wholeness, where you can eat a nutritious meal, where you can celebrate with them, where you can enjoy. That's the invitation that wisdom sets up. It seems like a no-brainer, right? And when we hear Folly's explanation, it seems like, why would we ever do that? Yet here we are, and we need to continue to preach, and I need to be reminded of this, and we do, because the path isn't always as clear, and sometimes we sit at the wrong table, or we act like we're sitting at the wrong table. And so here it is. This is what has been prepared for them. As we look at this, it says, it carries on, and it says in verse 3, she, wisdom, has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. So, Lady Wisdom has set it up in the highest point. Back in this time period, the highest point in a city was usually reserved for a temple, the place of worship, and so this is where Wisdom has set up her place. And not only does she send servants out, which kind of sounds a little bit like Jesus sending people out, right? There's just this idea that Wisdom's invitation is not hidden, okay? Wisdom doesn't go, okay, you've got to try to find me, the fountain of life, the wisdom. It's, I am sending Wisdom out to call. And not only that, but Wisdom is also going to call from the highest point. If you remember last week, as Pastor Steve went through Proverbs chapter 8, just this beautiful passage, this poetic passage of Wisdom's call going through of, does not Wisdom call out? Does not Wisdom raise her voice? How Wisdom has really been there from the beginning, Wisdom and calling out. And at the end of chapter 8, it says this, "Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways, listen to my instruction, and be wise. Do not disregard it." Verse 34, "Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord, but those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death." Verse 34, to highlight, says, "Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway." As that's how chapter 8 finishes. In chapter 9, as it says, "You are waiting at my door, watching daily there," Lady Wisdom opens up that door that those who are seeking wisdom can find. Lady Wisdom opens up the door where we are called to be waiting and invites us in. Doesn't just leave us at the door wondering, hey, how do I get this wisdom? Wisdom, as wisdom is calling us, has prepared something, and the door is open, and we're invited to come and sit and dine with her. And so it says, she has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. And it says in verse 4, "Let all who are simple come to my house." This is actually what we're going to see. This is the same words and the exact same invitation from Lady Folly as Lady Wisdom. And so the exact same words will be used. "Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense," she says, "come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways or your false trails and you will live. You will find life. Walk in the way of insight." Now, the idea of the simple here, it says, "Let all who are simple come to my house." As Proverbs talks about the simple, they talk about the open-minded, kind of open-minded to a fault. They're naive, they're gullible, they lack this moral filter of figuring out, which way am I supposed to go? In some ways, they're a blank slate, but they kind of believe everything they hear. So if you've heard about, and if you recall some of the things from Proverbs, you know, just this idea that the simple just kind of go. Oh, there's a woman calling, I'm going to go this way. This looks tempting, I'm going to go this way. Oh, click on this link and win $1 million. I'm going to do that, right? The simple thinks that that's what it is. They don't have any discretion. They don't have any discernment. They aren't able to do to figure these things out. Now, the thing about how Proverbs talks about those on this path and those who are simple is that scriptures remind us that all of us are actually simple, that all of us are actually sitting already at the table of folly, that nobody is just kind of like at a path where you go, okay, this looks like a good path. Am I going to go this way or am I going to go this way? We actually need to come off the path of folly and accept the invitation of wisdom. And that's what the Bible lays out for us. The Bible lays out that actually all of us are simple. All of us are gullible and want to follow our own ways. This is not new to us if we've listened to the gospel before, if we've been here. We all, Scripture tells us, in our natural state, are enemies of God and love the allure of sin. We love the allure of following those ways of the quick and simple and delicious way of eating and living that folly offers. And so we are not separate from this. We have to make this choice. And so in this invitation of wisdom, we are called to leave our simple ways. And the idea there is you have to make a choice. You must leave your simple ways to come in, eat, drink, it says. Enjoy these things, this hard work that I have done, that I have prepared for you so that you can be nourished, so that you can be well fed, so that you can enjoy these things. But the stipulation in verse 6 is this: leave your simple ways. Leave your ways of folly. Leave your ways of thinking that you know what is best and follow me. And so the invitation is there. Leave them and you will live. It's pretty straightforward where Scripture tells us in this first kind of part that we are called to joyfully accept wisdom's invitation for life and wisdom. To accept this invitation for life and wisdom. When we do, we find life. We accept this gift of life. It's being offered to us and it brings us life, Scripture says. And so walk in this way of insight. Now, as this passage kind of carries on, the next few verses, so that's the invitation of Lady Wisdom, what we're going to see is that we've already really been making a decision, and verses 7 to 9 talk about somebody who has already made that decision, kind of revealing the actions which show the heart of some of various different types of people, those who are wise and those who are foolish. There's also in here some teaching for us, for those who are trying to teach others, to try to instruct others in the way of wisdom, that sometimes it doesn't always go as expected. That when you share good news to somebody, not everybody sees that good news as good news. And so, as Scripture reminds us, we need to be wise about how we even share the good news of Jesus. So verse 7 to and 8 say this: whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. And so this first part is talking about those, this word mocker is like the most extreme when talking about somebody who is simple. There's kind of a progression in some ways of the way of the fool. You know, you might be simple, and then you're foolish, and then you're morally foolish, but the mocker is the worst in some ways. They're all bad. But the mocker is somebody who has heard the message of wisdom and literally kind of parrots it back in mockery. Like, oh yeah, the way of life, okay. And you're going to see that in some ways in Lady Folly's invitation. The exact same words are being mimicked and put back out there, but not in a way of life, but in a way of death. And so this mocker, it says, whoever corrects a mocker who has this mindset, whose heart has heard the truth of wisdom, the truth of God, of following after Jesus, man, they don't want to hear it. They've heard it. They've said it's no good. And it actually tells us that whoever corrects that person, you actually invite insults on yourself. You will be ridiculed for that. They will come at you. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. And it says, do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. You know, one of the things we have to ask in here is, how do we respond to rebuke? How do we respond to correction? Because the next couple of verses will talk about how the wise hear rebuke and correction. And what we need to ask is, do our actions, does our heart and does our response to rebuke in the ways of wisdom, does that reveal what choice we have already made? Do we heap abuse at people and insults? Do we hate somebody because they tried to correct us? And if so, we have to ask, which table am I sitting at in this moment? Am I living and walking in the way of wisdom? Because Scripture tells us in verse 8, the second part, rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The idea there is pretty simple. If you love wisdom, if you're in the house of wisdom sitting at her table, you know that her fare, her food is good and glorious and tasty, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to eat this. And with that, wisdom has a side of correction for us, because wisdom invites us in. Wisdom invites us in just as we are. You didn't have to do anything to get into wisdom's house. You didn't have to be the smartest. There's not an a GPA that you need to get in there. It's this recognition, and we're going to see it, that we are not wise, that we're sinners, yet he invites us in. And so part and parcel of being invited into the house of wisdom, sitting at the table with God, is that our hearts need to be open to correction and rebuke, open to teach, to being taught. Why? Because we know that God wants to direct us in ways that are good. And so the second part there, as we look at it, verses 9, 7 to 12, is your actions reveal your choice. And sometimes our actions and reactions to correction, to these things, reveal what choice we have already made. As it goes on in verse 10 to 12, verse 10 says, as it talks about these things, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Verse 10, you've heard before. It's the beginning of the whole book, right? The fear of the Lord. It's a little bit different at the very beginning. At the very beginning, in verse 7 of chapter 1, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Where here it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They're pretty much synonymous. There might be some slight nuances there. But this is the bookend that finishes this first big section of teaching in Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then we're finishing this section. This is the last time that wisdom speaks in the book of Proverbs. And it's going to be a reminder, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why is this so important? It is key to everything, because it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of something. Now, you've probably heard of reverse engineering before. It's just this idea where you take something and then you take it apart and so you can see how it's built to then duplicate it again. Reverse engineering, they use it all the time. Even that show, in many ways, Is It Cake, uses reverse engineering. They look at something, they're kind of poking at it. How do I make that texture? And then from there, you can copy it, right? They do this with software. Now, in our day and age, lots of websites use reverse engineering to offer us great products at a lower price. And what they do is they'll take a product and they'll look at it, take it apart, and then they copy it pretty closely. You know, Amazon does this. There's lots of sites out there that are selling products that have been reverse engineered and then copied, or there's lots of different words for it, but tried to make look like it. They're not necessarily passing them off as the exact thing, but something that's similar but a lower price. They haven't paid all of the research costs. They don't advertise the same. They don't do any of these. So they can offer it at a lower cost to us. And we're happy because we get a product that looks similar, acts similar, and we didn't pay the big premium. They're happy because they got a product and they got a little bit of profit. Now, it's, but in that process of reverse engineering, you know, seems like everybody is happy. The product doesn't necessarily last. But here's the thing that I want us to understand when it comes to accepting the invitation of wisdom and walking in the way of wisdom. You could read the book of Proverbs and go, all right, especially as we get into the next number of chapters, you could really go into any of these Proverbs and go, I'm going to listen to that. You know, I'm going to listen to that command that tells me whoever winks maliciously causes grief and a chattering fool comes to ruin. You can pick almost any of these and you can go, I'm going to try to apply that one little proverb to my life and I am going to be wise. If what you've heard so far in following wisdom and becoming wise is that it is about action, here's the thing. You cannot reverse engineer becoming a wise person. You can't go all the way back and say a wise person is somebody who does all of these things and then go back and start just trying to do those things to become wise. And actually, Proverbs isn't really interested at the initial part of what your actions are at all. That's not the decision that they are interested in, whether you were good with your money or bad with your money. Doesn't matter. That's not what Proverbs is urging at first. What Proverbs is urging, first and foremost, the most important thing, is right here in chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You don't try to make yourself look wise. We can't. We are simple. That's what Scripture tells us, that in our state, we are sinners who want to choose and go our own way, and we will always pick that. Scripture says that we are separated from God as a result of this, and we don't know how to do what is good or wise. Yes, we might make some wise decisions, okay? That this does not mean, and this is why you can look like you are doing wise things. You can make wise decisions in business. You can make wise decisions with parenting. You can make wise decisions with how you do things with your life and your time. But you are not sitting and dining and enjoying food and fare with Lady Wisdom. You have not been invited into Wisdom's house and you enjoy her protection and her completeness and her wholeness and her training and her love and the life that is offered and the reward. You are actually still just dining with folly. You are still dining with folly. You just haven't realized yet. The cake hasn't been cut into. You haven't realized the fakeness of what you are in and that it leads to death. And so Scripture here gives us this invitation, and the invitation is to you as well, that we are not about behavior modification so you look like you're wise, so you could pass that you were sitting at the table of wisdom, that you look like a Christian, that you look like you are kind and loving and generous, that you repent and all of these things. Unless we have a fear of the Lord, unless we turn in repentance and go, God. And so this word fear, you know, we don't like that word because we do think of somebody who is really angry at us. And there are two parts of that word. There is this awe and reverence, which is an important part of it, but there is also this fear. You can't just remove that because God is different than us. God is far removed from us. This is what happens in Scripture. Anytime they see God face to face, even if they see an angel who is a messenger of God, that's like, removed, not even close to God, they say, the angels, do not be afraid, okay? And so our Lord and Savior, who invites us to himself to find wisdom, he invites us, the beginning of, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, understanding that we are sinners, understanding that he is far superior to us, that he is perfect, coming to him, that's the beginning of it. But we have a Lord that says, fear me. And we also have one that says, do not be afraid, right? He invites us in and he says, do not be afraid, but come. But understand that I am also powerful. I am also just. I am also righteous. But the first step in this and the way to dine with wisdom, and our big idea is you have been invited to dine with wisdom or folly. The reality is you're already dining with folly, each and every one of us. Wisdom leads to life and folly to death. But this is the most important part. The fear of the Lord is the step that moves you from one table to another. The only step of these two invitations that takes you from one to another is that we humbly come to Jesus. We see, because in the New Testament, Scripture tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. That this idea of wisdom points forward to Jesus, who was the perfect wisdom, the personification of it. He embodied all wisdom perfectly. And so we are called to follow him, to put our faith, hope, and trust in him, because he lived out a wise and perfect life. And so the fear of the Lord is realizing that we are not our own gods. And this is the beginning of wisdom. It is the only thing that we need to do. It's the only thing we can do is recognize that we don't have it all together, that our actions are not enough. And it's the only step that moves us from one table to another. There is nothing else that we can do. And this is what Scripture reminds us. Sandwiched right here in these two invitations at the end of this pleading to the young, to the old, to those that are simple, that we must start with our acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. And not only do we start with that, we never finish with that. Each and every day, if you have already come and you have already acknowledged this and you go, check, I've done that, don't need to hear anything else of this sermon. The question is, as you dine with Lady Wisdom, as you dine at the table of wisdom, as you enjoy being a follower of Jesus and putting him number one, do you delight in him? Do you delight in the fare and the meat and the wisdom and the knowledge that he gives you? Do you trust that when hard things come in your way, you have to stop for a moment and go, wait, no, I am seated at the table of my Lord and Savior. So what is coming my way? It's not punishment, it's correction, and it is preparing me and developing me to be wise, to be prudent, because I'm in the protection of the Lord. I'm at the house, I'm sitting at the table, I am dining. The idea of this invitation to eat is this intimacy. And the intimacy is offered from God for us to know him and love him, not just to do things a certain way. And so this is the key. The fear of the Lord is the step that moves you from one table to another. And so verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. That last verse in verse 12, talking about your wisdom will reward you, this is not necessarily monetary-wise. The reward is you won't experience all these things that the fool experiences. You won't get taken in by every get-rich scheme. You won't see the same type of brokenness and fallout from your life and your decisions. It is a reward, and here's the thing, not just in the future someday. Those who are wise and live according to the way of wisdom, to the way of God, to Yahweh, that follow and trust Jesus, experience a reward now. And it also says that the mocker, you alone suffer. In both of these, you alone suffer. At the end of the day, when you stand before God and he says, which invitation did you choose? He already knows. You alone will suffer that, but you will also suffer now in this life for the decisions that you have made. This is what Scripture reminds us. As we carry on, the last call here and the last invitation is that of Lady Folly. And so verse 13 says, Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She is not simple like she can be trained. This is who she is now. She is just a simple woman. She is undisciplined. She is loud. She is unruly. You know, Wisdom built her house. She's working hard. Lady Folly is loud, trying to get people to come. It says, she is simple, knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She hasn't prepared much. She's not inside preparing something. She's just at the doorway of her house and on a seat at the highest point of the city. Now, Lady Folly is pretty wise in some ways, not really, but she's a copycat. And she has gone where Wisdom has gone. Maybe even set up shop a little closer so she can call out to those who are on their straight way, living their life, and says, hey, come here, come to me. And she sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point in the city, calling out to those who pass by. Folly, the way of sin, the way against God is calling out to each of you young people, to us as adults. Wisdom is there, or folly is there, seeking our attention, and uses similar words, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. They didn't necessarily go for folly's house. But the invitation comes, and it's, let all who are simple come to my house. Let all who lack understanding and wisdom, who are looking for direction, come. I've got something for you. To those who have no sense, she says this, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. Yummy. And this is what she offers. And folly catches us, catches all of us, has caught us all, and does catch us all with these temptations at times. Though folly really does offer, in some ways, is being honest. What am I offering you? My fare is not that of slaughtered meat and nice mixed wine at a table. Nah, this is stolen. This is kind of prohibited goods. If you've ever had a child, or been a child, I think that crosses most people, and you've ever been told no to something, Scripture tells us, and our own experience tells us, that when we hear no, we go, how come? I think I kind of want that now. And that's what Romans talks about. That's what our own life experience talks about. If we say, nope, don't touch that cupcake, we go, I really want that cupcake now. And inside we go, I want that, right? And so Lady Folly, this invitation to live a foolish life, to go your own way and follow your own sense, which is senseless, often tells us that stolen water is sweet. Oh yeah. And food eaten in secret is delicious. And the reality is, that is true, but only for a moment. It is sweet, it is delicious, but it is not nutritious like wisdom's offering. It is not wholesome and good and endless and enough for everybody. And here it says in verse 18, but little do they know that death are there and her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. That this offering will lead to death. It might taste sweet and delicious for a moment, but not only will you experience death, ongoing death in your own life of just the suffering of that, but also in the realm of the dead. There's a scene in one of the, what movie is that? Pirate of the Caribbean, and the Pirates of the Caribbean, and I forget exactly which movie, but there's this whole group that are running the ship, but they're actually dead. Somebody's going to know it. Nope. Black Pearl. And thank you, my son. And the Black Pearl and the crew are manned by a dead man's crew, and as they come into the moonlight, they look like regular pirates, whatever a regular pirate looks like. But as soon as the moonlight hits them, and it hits them, you see skull and bones, and you see that they're actually the dead kind of manning this ship, and they have to, you know, go on to get all these things together to reverse this curse and all of this kind of stuff. The idea of that is very similar to this, where Lady Folly says, come and eat, it's delicious. But what we don't know as we go to that place is that it tells us, little do they know that the dead are there, that the guests at her house, they're not alive, they're not flourishing, they're not under the protection of the wise, they're actually in the realm of the dead. In Sheol, there is no hope for them, it is grim, they are past help. Those are the people that are there. And there's this waking up of, there is not flourishing, this is what we see played out when we follow that. And so the invitation here, as we've seen today in this passage, is that we have been invited to dine with wisdom or with folly. We know that wisdom leads to life and folly leads to death, yet why do we always choose? Why do we stay with folly? Because it's sweet, because it's delicious for a moment. And so I want to remind us that we need to make a step, that the fear of the Lord is the step that moves us from one table to another, to trust Jesus, to eat and enjoy. And if we've made that choice, we need to enjoy it again and again, remembering that our Lord and our Savior has prepared a place for us that will take care of us, that feeds us well, and guides us in the paths of righteousness. And this will give us life both now and for eternity. As we close today, our benediction verse is from Romans 12, 1 to 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Go in the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus now. Amen.